Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's how you got your identity. More than being a male or a female, more than being a Lutheran or a Catholic, more than if you're Canadian or American or Saudi Arabian, more than if you watch CNN or Fox News, more than anything else, higher and deeper of all things, you received your main identity. You are a Christian. You are a child of God above and beyond any labels or any little tribes this world tries to put on you. You are a brother and sister with every Christian throughout the world. That's why we have the baptismal font right here. Before you hear God's word, you got to look through the baptismal font or hear announcements through the baptismal font. I can't see you unless I look through my baptism to look at you through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And you can't really see the true Fred without looking through the eyes of Jesus Christ. This is our identity. With these words, we become members of the family of God now and in eternity that never ends. As Martin Luther said, this is the first and chief sacrament of the church. And you are my brothers and sisters. You are my family. And so is St. John's Highland and Trinity Evangelical and St. Teresa's. These are all part of our Christian family. You know, family is so important. Over the holidays, Joan and I made an effort to see our family because part of our family is in Singapore. So we flew to Singapore, and boy, that's a trip. And Luke, my son, other son, came over to Singapore, and we got to have, we were all together before, during Advent, before Christmas, and it was so good to see Mark and his wife Zara, where they live, where they work, where they walk down the street, the food they eat. Of course, after a while, I missed a hamburger because a lot of rice and noodles over there. And we were happy for them, and we made an effort to be home with them. And when we were over there, I got to see some of our Lutheran home. We got to see Bishop Terry Key, who's the bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Singapore. And we got to go to the church, because like over here, you got Lutherans, they're all over the place. Over there, there's not many Lutherans. There's not many Christians. So they have this one place, it's like 15 minutes from my son Mark's house. It's a giant, it's like, it makes our mega churches here look small. It's a $20 million Lutheran church, which it took them 3 years to get the money to pay for it. And it was beautiful. I mean, beautiful sanctuary. They have a gymnasium. They bring in people during the week. They have, where the children are, they have little sinks and little potties and little places to make paintings. And it's just, it's an amazing place. They have places to grill outside. And they have something going on there every day. And Bishop Key spent over an hour with Joan and I just praising God for the church family there and for the generosity of the people. And it was just great. I mean, and then we came home and had our American family here and got back to our sleep schedules and started eating good American food again, which was great. But the baptism sacrament, it's like that. We are home with God in Jesus Christ. This building becomes our spiritual home. The people next to you and around you are your brothers and sisters, those you know and those you don't know. But you do know them because they too have the Holy Spirit given to them through baptism. And we love one another. That's how they can tell that we're a church of Jesus Christ, that we show love to each other. Through God's word, we receive the Holy Spirit, and we are made the sons and daughters of God through Christ unconditionally, with no conditions. Unconditionally, we are Christians. And you are accepted by God with no ifs, ands, or buts. You don't have to do anything to do that. Jesus did all the work for you. You're loved by God. When you came out of your baptism, God looked at you and he said, you know, Ruth, or you know Terry, you know, Joni, and you know, Bill, I love you and I delight in you. You're my child. And he loves us. And we understand that, you know, especially we Christian parents. We know that we love and the joy and the miracle of birth and having a child in our lives. Now, there are some things that sometimes our children do that upset us, that we may find unacceptable. But you always accept the child. You love the child. I know when John and I were expecting a baby, especially our second one, because we were a little older. We were slow in the draw there to get married and have babies. And they wanted to do what's called amniocentesis or something. They wanted to check with Luke to see. And we said, well, you know, if the baby's some deformity, we're going to reject him? No. So we said, no, we're not going to do that, because in those days it could be tough on the mother's health to do that. You know, if we had a boy, we're not going to send him back to, hey, God, we want a girl. Or if we had a redhead, we wouldn't want a blonde. You know, no. You accept the child and love the child and who they are. And, you know, and we don't reject the baby. The same with you through baptism. God accepts and loves you with no ifs, ands, or no conditions. He gives you a name. You are a Christian. You are a follower of Jesus Christ, a name that is above every name, that every knee should bow in the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, as St. Paul tells us in Philippians. And through your life, you may make God proud, and you may break his heart at times, but he always loves you. That never changes. He loves you so much that he gives you freedom to come to church or not to come to church, to love him or reject him, to follow in his way or to reject his way. And of course, God loves you enough to let you be responsible. So if you don't go in his way, there are consequences. There are consequences. But he loves you enough that he's always there to welcome you back, to hug you, to know that you can repent, that you return to your baptism, and know that your sins are forgiven, and that there's a new day today, and that the past is forgiven, and you can move on as a new person. Just as on a day when, of course, we didn't have it yesterday, it was like Florida here, but if you have snow, and you know, it's kind of brown and stuff, but the snow comes down, and it's beautiful, everything's white and new, and the sun hits it, and it's just bright. Your soul's like that in God. We repent and believe and allow God to love us. And how do we know in that love, then, how to live? Well, that's why God gives us the Bible. This is the baptized person's book. This is your main language to learn. It's good to know this language. That's why to read the Bible and to study the Bible and to do devotions every day, to go back to the Word every day. It's important to know this language. It reminds me of Mother Mouse and her little babies. They're walking along, and all of a sudden, there's this big cat. It's drooling. It's hungry. Let's eat them. And the little mother mouse gets her babies together, and she gets up and straightens herself as tall as she could be with that big cat over her, and she says to the cat, "Bow wow!" And the cat runs away. And the mother says to her children, "See, it's why it's good I told you to learn a new language, Well, our new language is the Bible, to know and read the Bible as Christians. And that's why what Larry read today gives us some marching orders of how to be Christians. Because the Bible, God's word, helps us as baptized Christians to be in tune with God and to know when there's dissonance, that we get other voices all around us all the time, bombarding us through all kinds of media. As we saw today in Isaiah. In Isaiah, remember, Isaiah is writing to the children of Israel who are captives in Babylon. And what's he saying to them? He says, even though you're captives, a bruised reed God will not break, a smoldering wick God will not put out. He loves you, and you have the endurance. What's your energy for? Why do you have endurance? Why won't you be broken? He tells us. You are to be a light to the nations. You are to bring forth justice. Justice for all people, to love all people and make sure everybody gets a fair break, no matter who they are, no matter how much money they make, no matter what they look like, no matter their political background, to have justice for all people. A light to the nations, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeons and have a just society. And then, as Larry read in our second reading from, let's see, my glasses are bad here. The second reading is Acts. You read a few chapters before this, St. Peter was like many of us. We're in these little silos. You know, we're all Lutheran, or we're all American, or I'm a man and I'm better than the women. You know, it's me against them, and I'm in my little group. Peter felt the same way. He felt, I'm a Jew, and the Gentiles are dogs, and I'm in my little silo, and they're their silo, and they're bad, and I'm good. And what did God do to him a few chapters before this? In Acts chapter 10, verses 9 to 15, he goes up in the middle of the day where it's cooler, and he takes a nap, and he has a dream. And in this dream, this big sheet comes down with all these piggies and shellfish and all these things that a good Jew would never eat. And what does God say to him in that dream? Three times. What I have blessed and what I have made, don't say is unacceptable. And so what does he do? He goes to Cornelius, a Gentile, a non-Jew. He's in this silo. He's not a Jew. The Jews are the good guys. The Gentiles are the bad guys. And he says, no, that's not what God's telling me. He goes and he witnesses to him, and Cornelius and his family are baptized that day. They are baptized. See, as baptized Christians, we are not to look at the exteriors or the labels or we're better than you. Once you get into that thinking, you know, you're going against your baptism. We're to look not at the outside, but at the person's character, who they are. And he says here, those who believe in Christ from any nation are righteous. He says that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to God. Don't be fooled by exteriors or how things are appear. Look at the character. Look at the heart. Because if God's working there, I don't care what nation they belong to. I don't care what nationality they belong to. I don't care what religion they belong to, or no religion. If they're doing good in Jesus' name, they might not know it's Jesus' name. But as Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, they are still anonymous Christians. And they are doing God's word. I remember when Martin Luther was afraid because the Turks were attacking and they were shelling Vienna in his day. And they were afraid the Muslims were going to take over. They said, Martin Luther, what should we do? And Luther said, well, you know, I'd rather be ruled by a smart Muslim than a stupid Christian. And what he was saying was, you know, he wants people to do their job and do it well, no matter what the label is. What matter what the label is? And the same with Christians, as baptized people. We want people to follow Jesus like we do, but we follow Jesus by showing love, not by being correct in doctrine, that's important, but not by knowing every word in the Bible, although I want you to read the Bible, but by our love and our kindness for one another. The Dalai Lama was asked once, what's your religion? He said, kindness. And when God births you and has your new identity as baptized, and when God bursts you into this through the waters of holy baptism, he gives you his spirit. Do you know that? You have the same spirit as Jesus. No, not me. I can't be. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. You have the power to do these things because the Holy Spirit can change your heart, mind, and soul to follow the way of Jesus. But you say, no, but okay, well, what about that little voice in you? Little voice in the back of your mind that says to you, you know, that person at work is a real jerk. They hurt me. They gossip about me. But as a baptized Christian, what am I to do? Forgive them. Now, you might want to talk to them and then see what you can do, but we're to start with forgiveness. 7 times, Peter asked Jesus? No, 70 times 7. We are to be about forgiving. Or you're walking along and you see your neighbor and they're looking kind of lonely and something says, you know, maybe I should pay that person a visit. And you go and smile and suddenly you brighten that person's day. That's the Holy Spirit working in you. Or you're ready to say something and you're really ticked off and all of a sudden you get a little choke in your throat and you don't say that hurtful thing and you don't attack. See, that's all the Holy Spirit working in you. That's your baptism gift. And you need to listen to the Holy Spirit. This book helps you get in tune with the Holy Spirit. Prayer helps you experience the Holy Spirit. And having quiet time with God helps you know the Holy Spirit in God. See, we are baptized to be channels to the Holy Spirit to others. We are to be a different type of people. We are the new Israel. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. We are cutting edge in all life to show that love is the most powerful force in the world, and forgiveness and kindness and this is not weak. Hate, bullying, lies, these are weak for weak people. No, we're to show a different way, the way of healing of Jesus Christ, and to use our baptism power to make and grow Christians, to help other people know Christians. And you know what? In 2 weeks, you're going to see how the Holy Spirit's working through St. Paul's with our annual meeting, and you're going to be amazed at all the wonderful things the Holy Spirit's been doing through us this last year, knowing that God does the work, but we ask to be the vehicles of the Holy Spirit to, you know, like a window. If it's the window is dirty, the sun has a hard time coming through, but you clean the window and the sun shines through in its beauty. Same with your heart and soul, to be open to God in Jesus Christ, to repent and to confess where your soul's a little dirty and you need a little cleaning up, and to let that light shine through you. And I'll tell you, when you start loving in the way of Jesus, let that Spirit work through you, that's the best gift and the best feeling in the world, because you know and you're doing eternal good. So today, let's remember we're baptized. Let's thank God for our baptism. Thank God for the dynamics of our baptism. Thank God that we're Christian. And so let's have a little prayer right now to do that. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have shown us by your life what it means to live our baptism daily, 24/7. As we became children of God, children of light, to let our light so shine through our baptism. You were born that way. You're helping make us that way. You are the only begotten child of God, and you are God in the flesh. And you have shown us by your life, death, and glorious resurrection what it means to walk in baptism, to walk wet. Your example for us is the way we should live. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your church. Thank you for fellow Christians. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, you have announced the kingdom of God on earth and have begun its reign through your ministry. And we thank you for the honor of having that done through our ministries here in our little ways. You have made us citizens of the kingdom by adoption, and we are grateful. Lord Jesus, help us grow in faith and goodness and kindness and gentleness and all the gifts of the Spirit. Not for our own sake, for our eternal salvation. You have taken care of that. But for the sake of our neighbor and to make you proud. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. And all God's children said, Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.